In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We have a guest. We have Father Martin from Poland, who's going to share about his life in his community.
Good morning, everyone, and I'm very glad to be with you today. It's really a good day to share what Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. I believe he's writing really the beautiful things in our history. And we have to learn the signs of the time, just to understand his moves. And one of those was the beginning of our community in France. I belong to this religious community called Chemin Neuf. It's a French name for the street that there was a little street in Lyon in France where the community started in 1973. But you know what happened at the beginning is it's amazing. It was this experience of the unity and the ecumenical prayer that really moved this beautiful movement of God in France, where our founder, the Jesuit priest at the time, he prayed with the Baptist pastor, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was in 73 in a small place, and in this moment, you know, he knew that something great is going to happen. It's really a move of God. It's a new Pentecost coming to Europe. There was the beginning of the renewal in Europe, and we got it from from the States, really. I'm Polish, but it was everywhere in Europe. This move of the Holy Ghost that touched people's hearts, and that was not only the grace that moved our founder to start the community, but it was always this experience of the unity, because he received the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit from the Protestants. So there was really something very interesting for the church, and they were praying in a small prayer group afterwards, and they decided to stay together, not just pray once a week or gather some time during the week, but they decided to share everything and to live the life of the early church, especially in the sharing of the possessions. Everything they have is according to the Acts chapter 4, where the Saint Luke says that the community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possession was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and they had a great favor. So it's really the experience of the Pentecost at the beginning. It's the experience of the unity that moved all, this great movement. Now we are in 30 countries. We preach the gospel, in every language, and it's beautiful. I'm in Poland, actually, but we have missions all over the world, even in Asia, and we really have a beautiful family ministry and youth ministry now, and it's all growing up because of this Pentecost that started in 73. So that was the experience that was the founding experience of the community, and I believe that's what We hear from Pope Francis when he says that just, you know, a couple of years ago, he said to the priests, you have to, you know, pray over your congregations for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't come, you cannot really have, you know, any pastoral work in your church. It's necessary. It's something fundamental for the church now, this experience of the outpouring of the Spirit. And that's, you know, our story is just one of the examples, probably, you know, more communities like this or more churches that really, you know, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they can share now, you know, life and money, and they can go to the missions together, they can share life together, as we do. You know, I live with consecrated sisters and with the families, because really, three quarters of the community, there are lay people. They are not priests. They are not nuns. They are families and children who are involved in the ministry. So it's like early church. You know, you have this same experience of the Acts of Apostles, when people were gathered together with one mind and one heart, and they shared everything. And because of this experience of the unity and the ecumenical prayer, we have the fourth vow when we, when we engage to the community, we give the fourth vow. It's a prayer and giving life for the unity of the church, which means we really are with our brothers and sisters Protestants. And we live with them. They join us, and this always Catholic community, but still we have many Protestant and Orthodox members in our community. So we really are together, and that's something that I believe it's not just theological or kind of our intellectual effort to gather people together, but it's really the to receive this desire of Christ from his prayer at Gospel of John chapter 17 verse 21, when he says, "May all be one, just like my Father and I," to make a world believe. And I believe that's the desire we carry in our hearts to be with the whole church, not just in our little world, but in the unity of the believers through the experience of the Holy Spirit, through the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can pray together. We can do a lot of stuff together, and it's possible. And you know what? We don't have to look just for the differences and underline all the problems. We just work. We go for missions. We pray. We really eat. We talk. We share everything, because we are brothers and sisters. That's what the first church experienced. That's the this normal experience of the Christians. So we just live this, and it's so wonderful, it's so beautiful. Sometimes it's difficult to accept all those diversities, but still it's the gift of the church. We all together, we all one. And I live that in Poland, and sometimes I travel to other countries, and it's so wonderful to have the same community life in different houses, in different places. And I wish we were here in the States one day, but we just have a little prayer groups in California right now. There are families and couples together praying, and they having retreats there, but we don't have a house in the States yet. I believe one day we'll probably come here, but it's something that really is growing from this charism of the unity, from this charism of desire of Christ, and I think it's deeply in his heart. So that was my experience, and I really discovered my vocation through Father Tom and through this beautiful experience of ecumenical prayer in Winthrop. And it was the first moment I really get in touch with brothers and sisters of our denominations. And that was the beginning, but now it's growing. I believe like it's really my desire to be with other Christians, and it's something that really takes me further to the really to pray with for the unity of the church,
that they would be one as I am in thee and thou art in me, that they would be one in us, so that the world will know that you sent me. The division in the churches is very sad. We cannot do all things together, but we can do many things together. And the division in the church is very sad. People see 8 churches in the street. That's pathetic. That's pathetic. We need to know that God wants us all to be one. Yes, one with the Holy Spirit, one with the Lord Jesus, one with the Father, one with each other, one with each other. Tell us about the retreats that you do for young people, and you have hundreds of people, even thousands of kids that come.
Right now in our community we have the big retreat for the youth. It is in the Abbey in France. It's a beautiful place at the lake next to Chambéry in the mountains. It's gorgeous. You can come and see. It's a beautiful place, the old Benedictine Abbey. And we gathered there like 2,000 youth just to introduce them to faith. You know, in France there's a really poor country, and I spiritually speaking, it's really a big desire of the gospel. So 2,000 people there is like a miracle. We know that it's a miracle in the country where there is very poor faith. It gather so many people. It's something that that really it's difficult. So we know it's a gift from God to have those people, and we lead them through the kerygma. We share with them during the week, and we just introduce them to Jesus Christ. And at the end we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So last Saturday night there was a big prayer meeting in a big tent. It was wonderful. I just watched the videos, and many of my friends were there. And those kids, those young people, they come because they're hungry. They never experienced such a love in their lives. They completely out of the church and out of the presence of God. So that it's something really new for them. And we don't want to give them just a little bit. We want to give them everything we have. So we pray right away for the Holy Spirit. We don't wait till next month or till whatever happens next year. We want them to experience what we experienced at the beginning. So this gift of the Spirit is like the purpose of this retreat. And many of them they come back, or they join us in the student houses, or they come to our meetings afterwards. And that's why many of them they can receive the call from God. Probably our community is one of the few in France where we have still vocations, and those young people they really come because they know there is more for them. And those meetings we have is just not once a year. We run retreats for them after this the big festival for 2000. We have a 1 week silent retreat. Right away we want them to experience discernment of their vocation, so they can answer right away for what God is telling them. And that's something very concrete, very tangible. It's something that they can take off this gathering this call that comes right after the outpouring of the Spirit, because when Jesus comes, he always says, come to me. He always says, you know, follow me. He always says, you know, now you have a purpose. Now you have to come after me. And you know, it's like something that you have to tell them. Because if not, they will go away, they will never find, you know, their place in the church, they will never find their place in the mission. So it's something that it's very concrete.
I remember many years ago, people from Petersham came to Cambridge where we lived. And when they got there, they said, you better share with these people the baptism of the Spirit because they're hungry. Now we know that we have the Life and the Spirit seminar, but we weren't going to wait 4 weeks. We prayed with them that night, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and their lives were changed. Because Jesus said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Your children ask for a piece of bread, you don't give them a stone. They ask for a fish, you don't give them a scorpion. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Much more, much more. Father, tell us more about the Holy Spirit in your community.
You know, it's that's what you said. It's very true. You know, you never know when the Holy Spirit will touch people's hearts. I remember in Poland, we were praying with the community. You know, there was like a Life in the Spirit seminar during like weeks of our Bible study, and we. At the end, we decided to pray for people. We decided to, you know, to pray for everybody. And I remember I was going to this meeting, and it was the last, you know, our last weekend. And I talked to myself, you know, now it's everybody's ready. Everybody that were coming for 10, you know, or whatever weekends. Now it's they are really hungry. And then I saw this young girl that was leaving this place, and I said, what's wrong? And she said, you know, I came here for the first time. I never been here before. I didn't participate in the whole Life in the Spirit seminar. I never came here, but I just heard that you are praying here, so I came in today, and I was trying, you know, to come and pray with you, but somebody told me, you know, you're not ready. Somebody told me, it has been 10 meetings, so maybe you come next time, you know. And I said, no, that's not true. You are ready now. If God brought you here, it means, you know, we cannot reject you. It's not, you know, about 10 or 11 or 12 meetings. It's all about the hunger that you have now. It's all about your desire you have. And this girl, she was for the first time in this prayer group, and I said, you'll be right on the stage and you'll be first to receive this gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's really, that was so powerful for her. That was so life-changing, you know, in her life. That you know, a few months later, she went with Maria Vadia. She went to Africa because she that night, you know, she received the call. That was the night that changed her life, and it was something beautiful because Holy Spirit comes, you know, suddenly. He never finds us ready. He never says, you know, come next time or, you know, 10 more meetings and I will tell you something. He comes right away. That's what's beautiful about the Holy Spirit. It's a big surprise. It's a big surprise, you know, and that's why we don't like the Holy Ghost. That's why it's hard to accept him. That's why we say, you know, maybe we can, you know, try our way, or we can keep our agenda. You know, Pope Benedict said, Holy Spirit is unknown God. He's unknown God because we don't want to hang around him, because he's always, you know, surprising us. He's always beyond us. He's too much for us. So that's why probably, you know, sometimes we say, you know, you are not able, you're not ready, you just come later, because we don't know that the Holy Spirit can change people in one moment, suddenly, like in the upper room when he came, or suddenly, and nobody was ready. They didn't know how to pray, they never been to the prayer meeting before. Just covered them with the fire and with the wind. That was the, somebody said, the only prayer meeting that people didn't, you know, destroy, because they were completely obedient to the Holy Spirit. They had no idea what they could do, so they just follow him, they just obey him. That's what we do, you know. And this, the same happens whenever you come to the community life. You know, it's like you are in the presence of God, because you never know what will happen next day. You have really just the Holy Spirit, and especially when you share, when you live your poverty, you know, you are completely in his hands. And that's how we live. We you know, in France we never buy food. You know why? We pray for that. So we receive gifts, we never buy it, because we know that God is gonna provide. He's gonna provide. I know it's crazy, but you know, I know other community, they never buy the clothing because they know that somebody's gonna bring it, and they pray for it. It's like being in the presence of the Holy Spirit 24 hours a day. And it's like completely in his providence. So that's how it works, I believe. And the Holy Spirit is moving his church this way. There's no other way, I guess.
I remember Sister Ruth, God rest her soul, and when she was a child, the Lord, although mother would give them a magazine and say, find what you want for Christmas, and then ask Jesus for it, because we can't afford it. And you know what? They got exactly what they prayed for. Each year, they didn't let anyone know that they had been praying for it. They didn't say, we want a bicycle. But when they prayed for a bicycle at Christmas, someone came with the bicycle. It's amazing. They call it faith. And it's unfortunately not very much a part of people's lives. Faith leading to love. Faith leading to love. Faith leading to love. Father, I want you to pray for the Holy Spirit for the people that are listening today. And Jesus says, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?
Well, come, Holy Ghost, now we need you so badly, because we are so in need of your presence. We are so in need of your love today. We need your mercy to cover our sins, to cover our poverty, Lord. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come your fire from heaven. Touch people's hearts now. I ask you to just to call upon the youth. Just, Lord, come and give them the special call today to serve you, to minister to you, Lord Jesus, to follow you with open hearts, Lord Jesus. We need a new generation of the young people who will follow you, Lord, who will preach the gospel, who will lay hands on the sick, Lord Jesus, who will expose the demons. And we ask the Holy Spirit to come now and to call upon those new generation that is coming. Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit now, please. We need so much your unity, your love, and your mercy in the church. Come to Boston, come to Poland, come to France. Lord Jesus, have mercy and send your Holy Spirit. We need your surprises. We need more of your power. We need your kindness, Lord Jesus. So come, your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O Holy God, manifest your Holy Spirit in the people that are listening today. Just pray with me, people. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Jesus, come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit.
I believe you are my Lord.
I believe all.
You are my Savior.
You are my Savior.
My Redeemer.
My Redeemer.
I am thirsty.
I'm thirsty.
For the Holy Spirit.
For the Holy Spirit.
Quench my thirst.
Quench my thirst.
To overflowing.
Overflowing.
Amen.
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 Amen. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Much more. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We need your help so that we can pay our bills for July. You know, people listen to me. I was talking to some people last night who have a paint company. My father was a painter, so I really wanted to listen to these people. They listen to us every single day as they do the painting outside. May God bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.